Hello, happy new year. Welcome to Modia's Diary on Anchor.fm. My name is Franca Ayanka. It's really nice to be back. Yes, just hold your breath. I came back with a breath of fresh air. As we all know, we are all in pursuit for one thing or the other. So this year, I am in pursuit for peace and happiness. And so I came across this wonderful book from by a writer J. Marius, 14 Laws for Happiness. So I'll be literally reviewing this book, not in sequence of chapter 1, 2, 3. No, as it catches my attention. So I'm right here in chapter 3, and this book was drawn from the Beatitudes. This book shows that happiness can be attained quite easily, provided that it is treated as serious business rather than as child's play. It is based on the Beatitudes we come across in the Gospel of Matthew in the Holy Bible and on a few statements from other Gospels. So this book is centered around the Bible. So today, chapter 3, no man is an island. Happy the gentle, they shall have the earth for their heritage. Matthew 5, verse 5. The human person has been created for relationships, for self-giving, for communion. His happiness is social because it is born of love. Happy the gentle. They are strong with the strength that gives the with the energy to fight and to master self that lessens the aggressive emotions of anger, of hostility, or of the helplessness that results from desperation. The gentle are welcomed and loved by everybody. They possess the earth by subduing every heart with goodness, temperance, and patience. The gentle put everybody at ease. They are like the rays of the sun that penetrate through smoothly and are received with joy. They are like the refreshing rain that percolates deep down to the very roots and in the innermost recess of the human heart. The sweetness and gentleness of the meek and the humble are the fullness of true love that enriches and builds up the individual as a person worthy of respect, capable of acceptance and of benevolence towards everybody. Virtues that make for better living. Negatively speaking, gentleness has a psychosomatic influences on the whole human person. No behavior predisposes a person more to a situation than to a situation that is harmful to health than that of the meek, be it on the physical or the psychological level. The secret to a happy life lies in the proper balance of the emotional state. True meekness is the fullness of strength. Its control eliminates the negative components and enhances those that are valid and constructive. Gentleness is a great commitment, a strong challenge. It consists in having the same sentiments as those of Jesus Christ. In this regard, the Apostle Paul has something magnificent to say in this letter to the Philippians. If then there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than you are. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. The more gentle and noble is the heart, the more docile it bends. This chapter 3 would further explain it in a story of how gentle will inherit the earth. Let's listen to this wonderful story. The title of the story is Resilient as the Bamboo. Gentleness is flexible in such a way as to overcome multiple conflicts, big or small, that could make the individual impatient. We meet them at every step of the way: illness, offense, backbiting, insinuation, suspicion, injustice, career frustration, etc. Our reaction to such conflicts is either we let them subdue us or we ourselves subdue them. Incidentally, gentleness is the style of one who battles daily to win. The gentle have the freedom and the resilience to begin every day, the serenity to establish new relationships with others, ever willing to start. Their heart is big enough to hope and wish for the best. The legend of the bamboo is purposeful. There was once in the forest a tall, slim bamboo. This bamboo plant had a stately bearing. Bamboo would bow rather willingly under the force of the wind and the rain, but was ever the first to straighten up to welcome the light and the rays of the sun. One day, the Lord approached the plant and said, "Bamboo, I am in need of you." With great joy, but with a low voice, Bamboo replied, "Oh Lord, I am ready. Use me the way it pleases you." "My dear Bamboo," said the Lord with a sad voice, "to use you, I need to cut you down." Bamboo was frightened. "Cut me down? Lord, after having made me the most beautiful plant of the forest? No, Lord, please." "If I do not cut you down," said the Lord, "I can't use you." The forest became silent. The wind ceased to blow and the birds remained silently hidden among the branches. Bamboo lowered its stately height and whispered, "Lord, if you cannot use me without cutting me down, do with me what pleases you. Do cut me down." The Lord continued, "Not only cut you down, I would also need to cut your leaves and branches." "Oh Lord," said Bamboo, "please don't do this to me. Let me at least have my leaves and my branches. If I do not cut them off, I won't be able to use you," said the Lord. Bamboo trembled and uttered in a voice that was hardly audible, "Lord, then cut them off. But I would still need to do something more with you. I would need to split you and take your heart off you. If I don't do this, I won't be able to use you." Bamboo could no longer speak. It bowed its head down to the ground in surrender. The Lord of the forest then cut down the bamboo plant, chopped off its branches and leaves, split its lengthwise in halves, and took off its heart. Then he went to the parched field. Close by was a flowing stream. He connected one end of the trunk to the water and directed the other end towards the dried up field. And hey, presto, out flowed the water from the streams, much to the delight of the field. The field, thus irrigated, was sown with rice seeds. These grew up and yielded an abundant harvest. Wonderful in life, Bamboo became an even more wonderful channel in death, a source of life and blessing for everybody. The gentle will inherit the land. The story, as saddening as it is, as it reflects more on what God wants to use us for. In my opinion, it touched my very being. I am shaken from this. Because in as much as we find our daily activities challenging, what if we are able to be gentle and silent and see the significance of what the Lord wants to use us for, and we bow our head in surrender? Then surely what God has planned for us will come to pass. It doesn't matter how it looks like. The gentle will inherit the land. That is all human realities, because love, benevolence, gentleness will prevail in the building up of the family, of a new society. The protagonists of human events are not the violent ones, but those who are engaged in giving a new face to relationships between human persons. The gentle will inherit the home. Nothing in the world can warm the cockles of one's heart more than one's own heart. The home has a vital meaning in the life of the family. The home is the image of the dwelling where one feels well, the meeting point, the focal point, the atmosphere of freedom and friendship. The home is the oasis of tranquility, the place where acceptance and pardon are always found. The gentle will inherit the family. It is the home that the family constituted, the place where children are born and raised. Family life requires strength and perseverance, the fruit of which is the happiness of its members. Happiness and misery begin in the communication atmosphere of the family and grow there in as much as that the family is the mother cell out of which human society grows. One day, a father was very busy in his study when he heard a knock at the door. "What do you want?" yelled the father, clearly irritated. "I don't want anything, Daddy," was his little son's reply. "I would just like to be with you." The family that prays and recreates together stays together. It is in the family that real give and take is learnt and practiced, and where honesty breeds honesty, the readiness to sacrifice for the sake of the other, or confessing our faults to our spouse or children, whereby we say, "Forgive me, I lost my temper," or, "You know, that was real thoughtless and selfish of me. I am sorry," makes us, as well as others, appear in a new light altogether. Mutual attention improves communication and establishes a more favorable relationship between couples. The family will live in harmony if the man of the house, the husband, the father, trains his attention not merely on the profession and friends, but also of all, on his wife and children. And although engaged in many commitments, he will know how to make it convenient to spend quality time with them. The same applies to the lady of the house, the wife, the mother. Even as she deterrently discharges her professional commitments, she will try not to deprive her husband and children of her reassuring presence. In such an atmosphere as this, the children, while facing the inevitable generation gap between them and their parents, will still be able to welcome their love and benefit from their parents' life experience, serving as it does as timely guidance. It is only by way of sharing love and giving attention that harmonious living comes about. The gentle have friends. They create friendships. The friends is another self. One as precious as life. Friendship is mutual benevolence between two persons who aspire for happiness. Friendship, by its very nature enriches. The gentle find help, support, and cooperation at home, at work, at study, whenever and wherever a need is felt. The gentle do not give up easily in the face of unjust attitudes and refuse to be prevailed over in their positions. They prefer the way of persuasion and choose the path of love and deepening on circumstances, that of condescension, the gentle choose meekness as the road to transformation. They know that evil is not stronger than the good, and that it can, as such, be won over with good. The gentle inherit the fruit of the land because they are engaged in recreating dwelling of God and their own in harmony with nature. It is not uncommon for the human being to sever the harmony existing in creation. As a consequence, disaster and pollution follow, harming creation on the ecological front. An unknown oriental poet once wrote, "Do not live on earth like a boarder vacationing in nature. Live in this world as if you were in your father's house. Believe in the grain, in the sea, in the soil, in the desert, but above all, believe in man. Love life, love the cloud, the machine, the book, but most of all, love man." The Arabs tell a suggestive parable that not only touches on ecological themes, but also on ethical ones that are usually intertwined with each other. It is as follows. In the beginning, the world was a blooming garden. When creating man, God said to him, "Every time you will perform a bad action, I will let a grain of sand fall onto the earth." Men, wicked as they were, did not heed this injunction. Years passed and torrents of sand inundated the world. Thus it was that desert came to be born, each becoming bigger and bigger day by day. Even today, God admonishes men, thus, "Do not turn my blooming world into an immersed desert. Be sober." The gentle are respectful and shun all manners of abuse. They live a life that results and hails from what is good. The prerequisite of gentleness is temperance, or in other words, moderation, which is the capacity to control and maintain in just limits the gratification of the natural appetites. My child, test yourself while you live. Discern what is bad for you and do not give in to it. For not everything is good for everyone, and no one enjoys everything. Do not be greedy for every delicacy, and do not eat without restraint, for overeating brings sickness and gluttony leads to nausea. Many have died of gluttony, but the one who guards against it prolongs his life. Sirach 37:27-31. A friend once called on Michelangelo while he was finishing his statue. Sometime later, the friend called again, and finding the sculptor still at work on the same statue, protested that Michelangelo had been idle since his last visit. "By no means," replied the sculptor. "I have retouched this part and polished that, softened it this feature and brought out this muscle. I have given more expression to the lips, more life to the limbs. But these are trifles," argued the friend. "Maybe," the great sculptor replied, "but remember that trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle. At times, little kind deeds are easy and wonderfully efficacious in keeping up union and happiness of heart." Happy is he who is capable of interior revolution. He will then find himself more humanized. Happy is he who exercises discipline of the spirit. There is no growth without pruning, cutting, or shearing. He is wise who remains tenaciously gentle, because happiness is lived out as one gets on through life. Thank you for listening. I'll be glad to have your response. And if you want more of this, please send in your messages. Once again, welcome to Modia's Diary on anchor.fm. I remain Franca Ayanga. Stay blessed. Until next time.